Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
So, Father, we want to thank you that your presence is here. We thank you that you're going to minister to us through the Word this evening, and that we're going to have a great time together in your presence, Father. We just welcome your ministry, Holy Spirit. We thank you that we're going to have a great time together in Jesus' name. Amen. So while we're finishing off the offering there, or before I get into the Word, usually around this time, it's what's the time now? Usually around this time, we're finishing off bath time in our household, and my two little boys are finishing off bath time and going on their way to bed. And on a Sunday afternoon, my wife's doing that alone, and brave woman, isn't she? And at the same time, they're listening in. So I thought, when I found that out for the first time last week, I thought I'd say hello. So hello, William and Elliot. So just to greet them, and because they're part of the service this evening on live stream, along with a couple other people, I'm sure, which is exciting. But you're here, I'm sure, because you want to discover your destiny. You want to find out how to live life on purpose. And if you aren't already, then I believe that this series is just going to, or if you are already, then this series is really just going to boost that for you in your life. I'm really excited about it because as I was praying about the series and just seeing what is God's heart for us in discovering our destiny and living life on purpose, one of the major things that I realized was this is really going to set a lot of us free from a lot of bondages with regard to wrong thinking regarding your purpose and your destiny. You'll see, I've got a great sacred cow for you later. The people who laughed were in the service this morning. So the awesome thing about it is that God's got a purpose and a destiny for your life. And part of that is, let me say, part of that is obviously to make money. We're going to talk about that in the series. God has a purpose and it's to be an influencer. So he wants to use you to influence people. But he also wants to use you to make money so that you can be blessed, so that you can be a blessing. Genesis chapter 12 verse 2. God said to Abraham, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And so God's heart is that we are blessed so that we can be a blessing. Not so that we're blessed so we can say, hey, I'm blessed. Yeah, if you tell me you're blessed, then you gave in the offering bucket. If you didn't, then you don't really believe you're blessed. Not this week, maybe, but sometime. Via EFT or something. But anyway, yeah, so we're going to be looking at how do we discover our destiny? How do we live in it? But the first thing I want to say before we get into even the word destiny and all of that is that your calling, your purpose, the first and foremost, the most important part of all of this is that you're called to relationship with God. So I want to start off there and say, you know, in John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So Jesus came to give us everlasting life, which is not just living forever. We're all going to live forever in one destination or another. We're not all, you know, it's not even just living forever with Jesus, although that's great and it's going to happen for you if you're a believer. But we're talking about everlasting life in terms of John 17:3. And Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is life eternal. This is everlasting life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So everlasting life, the whole reason why Jesus came is relationship with God. He came so that you could have a friendship with him. And so that's the most important thing about Christianity. It's not church, it's not missions, it's not anything. All of that stuff helps to build towards relationship with God. But Jesus' whole purpose and Christianity's purpose isn't religion, it's relationship with God. That's what he wants with you. And that's your destiny. Everything else flows from relationship with God. Okay, so relationship with God is key to everything. But if you look at the word destiny, I don't like the dictionary definitions that I could find. Because all of them give this idea of a destination, a destiny somewhere out there. So they say that your destiny is something that is somewhere else. So you've got to get there. And then it gives the idea that you can't actually do anything about it, that it's just going to happen to you. It's your destiny. Yeah, you know, it's what's another word? Fate. There you go. It's something which just happens, and you know, you just have to suffer with it or enjoy it. And that's not true because it goes against what Scripture teaches. So you know, it's true that God has a purpose for your life, but you're not a chess piece. I remember being as a child being very confused about this, trying to figure out, You know, I at one stage thought, you know, God, we must be like chess pieces and God's moving us and putting us where he wants us or whatever. It's not the case. If it is, then I don't, you know, they've got some stubborn chess pieces here who don't want to be lifted by God and moved or whatever the case is. But, you know, that's not what scripture teaches us. We're going to have to redefine destiny in our minds. It's not something that happens to us, and it's not something automatic either. It's not something that happens whether you participate or not. Okay? Discovering God's purpose, I mean, you're not here by accident. You're not on this earth just to take up space or wait for Jesus. That's exciting, I think, because it shows that there's more to life than just what's happening. There's divine purpose for you being on this earth. And it's more than just making money and having a nice car. It's more than going on holidays and stuff like that. There's significance inside of you. We're going to talk about that over the next couple of weeks. We're going to look at how to discover what vocation you should do. How has God wired you? Gifts, talents, passions, abilities, all of that stuff. We're going to look at that. And how do you discover that? We're going to look at how to hear God's voice, how to make decisions. We're going to look at what is your calling? What is your purpose in life? How do you live that out? We're going to look at a whole bunch of different things. But this evening, we're really just looking at how God's got a purpose for you, and it's not going to be fulfilled by accident. Because that's the reality of it. Many of us actually think it is going to be fulfilled by accident. But it's not. Okay? That's not true. Excuse me. So your purpose and your destiny isn't just automatically fulfilled whether you participate or not. You've got to aim for it. You know, if you think about a pinball machine, you know what a pinball machine is? You've got that big machine. It's like a table, but lifted up a little bit. And then you've got the little lever and you pull it back. And then the little lead ball or silver ball shoots up into the machine, and then it bounces from pillar to post, and there's these magnets and things that just push it all over the place. And what do you have control over? These two little levers over here, the bottom. You're pushing this button is going like this. That's all you can do. And it's just going like all over the place, and you wait for your opportunity, and when it gets to the bottom, you like hope you hit it, and you go doosh. And then you don't have control over that ball wherever it goes. Many of you live like that. It's like, here's an opportunity, let me go here then. And then it's all of a sudden, let me jump here and let me jump there. And it's like you're responding to circumstances and you're responding to things that are happening to you, but you're not following what God's got for you. You don't have His purpose for your life. Yeah, He's got a purpose for your life and He's got a plan for your life. So you've got to take that purpose and then you've got to go, okay, God, what's your plan for it? And then follow that plan. And many of us just take the purpose and then we hope it comes to pass. Thank you, Jesus. Let it happen. Thank you, Father. You know, and then we kind of do our little bit. And you carry on. You've got to be more purposeful than that. If you're not living life on purpose, if life is just happening to you, then you're taking up space, number one. We love you taking up space in Grace Life. You're welcome to have that chair. We've still got lots of space. Yeah. But when we fill the hall, then, you know, if you're just taking up space, we might need you to just shift. We love you. But the point is like there's purpose for you. It's not just to take up space in life, not just in church. Okay? We've all got something of value to add, and God wants us to participate in His kingdom. So you have a purpose. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. Some of you can just pull out your fridge magnets. You don't need your Bible for this one. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a future filled with hope, different translations put it. And so this scripture is showing you, hey, this is probably one of the most self-centered verses in church, right? God's got a purpose for you and it's true. He's got a plan for your life and it's true. He's got there's a perfect plan that He's got for you, but it's not going to happen by accident. His plan is to prosper you, not to harm you. He's got a future full of hope for you, but it's not going to happen by accident. If it did happen by accident, if it was just going to happen, then there would be a lot more prosperous and hopeful people in the church. But there aren't. There's a lot of hopeless people in the church. A lot of people who aren't prospering in the church. And so there's a disconnect. The next two verses kind of help us a bit. It says, then you will call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, I will listen unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So this is just showing us, hey, you know, God's, I like how God put this, okay? So this is him speaking. And he says, I've got an awesome plan for you. I've got an awesome purpose for your life. And then he says, the next line, when you seek me, you'll find me. When you call on me, I'll answer you. And then straight away he says again, when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Not with a little bit of your heart, but when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And so he's making this whole promise about relationship with him. He's not making this promise about you just got an awesome purpose for your life. Just keep living it. Do what you want. It's going to work out. I don't know if you've noticed, but it doesn't work out for everyone. Things don't work out for everyone. That's another story. But with this, it's showing you that you need to not seek after the purpose that he has for your life. Seek after him. And you'll discover your purpose. It's saying, when you seek me, you'll find me. When you search for me with all your heart. So it's got to be like this wholehearted thing as always. God, I want you. I want relationship with you. When you pursue that, you'll discover your purpose. When you pursue him, all of a sudden you'll start to walk in your destiny. When you pursue who he is and having relationship with him, you'll start to walk in the plans that he has for you. You'll start to find out the work that he's got for you to do. And you'll enjoy that much more than you did before you knew him. I mean, you could just get a word from him. You know, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, God, I'm going to go and do X, Y, and Z. Let's even say it's ministry. So it's like, hey, I'm called to be a pastor in a church. So he says, hey, Shane, I want you to pastor a church. Thank you, Lord. I'll go. I start pastoring a church. I leave the relationship with God part. Now, you do this with business too, so don't judge me. So you leave relationship with God to do the work of God. It needs to be together. Obviously with ministry, but even with whatever you're doing, whatever you do needs to flow out of relationship with him. Okay? It's not about seeking your purpose and your destiny. It's about seeking him, having relationship with him. Okay? But God's got a work for you to do. God's got a work for you to do. Some of you freak out at the word work. It's not legalism. It's not legalism. It's a privilege to be part of God's, to be part of the family business. Let's put it like that. Look at this, Acts 20, 24. From the easy-to-read version, Paul speaking, he says, I don't care about my own life. Let's just pause there for a moment. This is one of the biggest keys to fulfilling your destiny. Let me read it. I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I finish my work. So Paul's saying he's got a work to do, and he's saying, I don't care about my life. If you want to fulfill your destiny, you've got to, it starts off at that place of yes, seeking God, but it starts off in this place of, God, I'm putting my desires aside. Doesn't matter what I want what you want for me. The best example I've got of this is my own life, where I was really passionate about wanting to you know, be an influencer and a change in our country. And so I was, you know, I'd studied for politics and government. I was going into government and politics, and I believe you can, you know, be an influence there. And I believe that people are called to do that. But while I was working in parliament and I was getting involved and all of that, I remember at one point I was just inside. God was starting to speak to me, and I just stopped, and I was alone in my office, and I just felt God say to me, I was like, God, why do I feel like I feel at the moment? I know you're trying to tell me something. It was this unsettledness. And as I became quiet and I prayed in the Spirit, and he started to speak to me, he said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it doesn't bear fruit. And I said, that sounds like scripture. I didn't know it was. So I Googled it. I found the scripture reference, and I was like, read in a couple of different translations. I was like, that doesn't make sense. I don't know what this means. You might know. You're cleverer than me then. So what I did was I went and read up some commentaries on it. Still didn't have a clue what God was trying to say. And while I was reading the commentaries, God said, I'll tell you what it says. He said, unless you let your dream and your desires and your goals die and pursue what I've got for you, you'll never bear fruit. You'll never have a fruitful life. The fruit that you experience will never be what it could be. And that's the same for all of you. So there's a word for you this evening. Thus saith the Lord. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it doesn't bear fruit. You got to pursue what God's got for you, not what you want for you. Okay? I don't care about my own life, my own desire, my own dreams, my own whatever. The most important thing is that I finish my work. Everyone say my work. You can do better than that. 1, 2, 3. Okay, good. I want to finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do. And he says, to tell people the good news about God's grace. So he says, I've been given a work and I want to finish this work. And my work is to tell people the gospel of grace. That's what he says. King James puts it like this, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received. He's saying that I might finish. I want to complete this work, which means that it's possible he wouldn't. You know, you might die and not fulfill your calling. Hello? Where is the most potential in the world? In the graveyard. Why? Because a lot of people died full of stuff. They should have died empty. They died with gifts and talents and abilities and cures for diseases and all sorts of things. They died with that in them. They didn't unleash it. God wants to unleash what's inside of you, and he wants you to release it. You have to finish your course. You have to complete your work. Okay, what I like about this is Paul accepted responsibility to finish the work that had been entrusted to him. It was his responsibility. He said, I will finish the work. How does he put it there? That I might finish my course with joy. Not just finish my course like, you know, begrudgingly, but I want to finish it with joy. I want to enjoy it. I want to be full of joy when I go. You know, we need to have the same attitude. I want to finish my work. It's my responsibility. Unfortunately, many Christians make it God's responsibility, and that's why they die not fulfilling their calling. Ready for your sacred cow. You have to finish the work that's entrusted to you. You know, many of us are passively waiting for God to fulfill it. I love this illustration. It really upset someone once. I only know of one person they came and told me, but it was, you know, if Adam and Eve were like many grace people, I'm a grace person, so if many people, you know, but I'm not like these grace people who would be in the Garden of Eden and they would have rebuked the Lord. The Lord says, take, eat anything from the garden except that tree, but take and eat anything. Take and eat. That's legalism. That's works. Get behind me, Satan. Many people would have done that. Instead of going, thank you, Lord, I received this fruit which I didn't have to produce. Eat it. Many of them would have died of hunger going, feed me, Lord. We expect God to do everything. It's not a work to take hold of what he's given you freely. It's not legalism. Legalism is when you're trying to earn it, when you're trying to deserve it, when you're trying to manufacture it. You can't manufacture healing. You just receive it. You can't manufacture the blessing. You just walk in it. It's yours. You can't earn forgiveness or the fact that you know the innocence of no condemnation. It's yours. You receive it. But sometimes receiving it is a work for us in the sense that you need to, you know, study the word and you need to renew your mind and, you know, there's different things that you do to receive, and yet some people reject and go, that's works. I'm not doing that. Yeah. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's something that you physically do. Not something you just think about. You have to go into all the world. You know, it takes a effort to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. That's strategy. I've been in meetings where we're talking about strategizing with, you know, leaders. This is years back now. I think 4 years ago now. We were in a meeting and we're strategizing about how can we reach more people? How can we just do things better so that we can reach more people? And someone says, I think you're asking the wrong question. We should just be letting the Holy Spirit do his work. Jesus said, I will build my church. Yes, he did say that, but you're his body, so he's going to build his church through you. So quit being passive and do something. If you don't want to do something, God still loves you. That's awesome, but you need to do something. Hey, those chairs didn't put themselves there. These lights didn't just, you know, like Mickey didn't come with his wand. And like start dancing around and everything just happened and then people arrive. You know, it takes work. And no one was putting out a chair or putting up lights or whatever we were doing because we were hoping God would accept us this evening. We weren't doing it for God to pitch up. God was doing it with us. Those of you who weren't here, you missed out. We co-labor with Christ, which means we do it with him. But there's a labor involved. So work isn't evil. Yeah, work isn't evil. We've got a series at the back there, Work, Money, and Your Destiny. Go listen to that. I'm not going to talk about all that stuff in this series, but there's some good stuff in there about work's not evil. God's got a work for you to do. Anyway, so there's things that we have to do, you know, but the enemy really sells us the lie, a lot of lies, let me say this, like this, to try and hold us back from reaching our potential. Makes sense, right? He doesn't like you. Any of you. Doesn't matter how good looking you are or how talented you are, the devil doesn't like you. If you're passive, he might like you a little bit because you're not doing anything. You're not a threat. But the point is that he will do anything to distract you from your calling and your destiny. He's not just attacking you with your health or with your finances. He's attacking your destiny. That's what an attack is. He might attack your health, but it's to distract you to focus on your health. He might attack you in your finances. It's not about money. It's about your destiny. He's trying to make problems for you in areas so that you move your eyes off the prize and you focus on something else. Okay? And so one of the lies, which is a sacred cow, I believe, which he likes to sell people, is this next scripture. Next one. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. How many of you have used that one? Don't put up your hand. Yeah, you're excusing your lack of fruitfulness. you're excusing your passivity, your inability to do something, and you're just like, you know, you encourage one another. We encourage each other. Don't worry. God's faithful, and he's called you, he'll do it. I don't know. I don't know if anyone's preached on this lately anywhere in the whole world. I haven't listened to anything. So if your favorite teacher's taught on this, I'm sorry. But I believe that we take that out of context and it's wrong. We use this verse to excuse a lack of fruit, to excuse failure, to put the responsibility on God. It's God's responsibility to fulfill my purpose. Well, Paul didn't say that. He said that he wants to finish his work. Okay, God's not going to finish your work. He's finished his work. That's why Jesus said, it is finished. So he finished his work. Now you need to finish your life and go, it is finished. And then die. Okay? You want to be like Jesus, that's when you should die. Right? When you know that you're finished, you can go, it's finished. Cheerio, folks. However you want to go out. I think that's a cool way to go out. But, you know, the truth is God is faithful. But what is this verse referring to? You know, we love to cherry pick scriptures and pull scriptures out of a context and not look at what is it talking about. So let's look at the verse before this to see what it's talking about. Verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. Faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. Verse 23, be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he faithful to do? To preserve you blameless. He's not faithful to fulfill your calling. You have to be faithful to fulfill your calling. Faithfulness is key. That's another teaching for part of the series. Faithfulness is key to fulfilling your calling. Faithfulness means just doing it again and again and being there and being there. And, you know, it's like you don't think about it we didn't think about it when we started the church. I knew that, well, actually, when we started the church, I said to my wife, we're not going to have a holiday in a long time. I said, we've lost Christmases for the next couple of years. I said, we're here. And we were like, that's awesome. Let's do, you know, we just prepared our minds for that. Every Sunday we're at church because we're leading people, we're ministering to people. And that's our commitment that we made, and we've been faithful to do that. Sometimes we're not here, but we built up a team to make sure that our responsibilities are fulfilled when we're not here. That's faithfulness, making sure that your responsibilities are covered all the time. Anyway, that's another topic for another day, but he is faithful to preserve you blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What this means is that as a believer, your righteousness is secure. You're preserved blameless, it says. Preserved blameless. It's talking about your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He preserves you blameless unto the coming, to the last, to when Jesus comes to take us. You're preserved blameless. He's not going to fulfill your calling for you. And that preservation is independent of your performance. So what this is basically showing us is that you will not fulfill your destiny or your purpose by accident. So tonight I'm really just helping you get rid of all your excuses. Amen? To hit something, you need to aim at it. You know, the saying, like I said earlier, the graveyard is the greatest place with the greatest potential in the world is true because a lot of people just didn't do what they were supposed to do. You need to reach your potential. Passivity is not going to get you there. Now, passivity isn't one of the fruit of the Spirit. Passivity isn't a character trait that God blesses you with. Passivity will kill you. Passivity will hold you back from fulfilling what God's got for you. God's will doesn't automatically just come to pass. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us and wishing that not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God wants everyone saved. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but people perish and a lot of people aren't saved. Just shows you, God's will doesn't automatically come to pass. He's given us the choice. He's given us free will. Okay, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. If you confess with your confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's a part for you to play. The gift is there, you've got to take it. If you don't confess that Jesus is Lord and you don't believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you won't be saved. It's not just going to happen automatically. God wants everyone saved. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but you've got to receive it. Okay? The same thing when it comes to fulfilling your purpose. You've got to cooperate with God. You need to discover it. You need to walk with it. You've got to learn to hear from Him. God, what's the next step? God, which job should I take? What should I study? How should I do this? Whatever the case is. You need to make wise, Spirit-led decisions. You know, and it's not about one decision, okay, I'm going in this direction. It's about decision after decision after decision. Every decision collectively makes up your destiny. Your destiny doesn't start one day. If you're called to be the president, it doesn't start when you're sitting in that chair. It starts now when you make the first decision to move towards there. And then you need to make the next decision and make the next decision. You walk in that direction and every step is part of your destiny. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Everyone say, good works. Good works. Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Ordained doesn't mean that it's just going to happen automatically whether you like it or not. Ordained means like pre-planned, pre-approved. It's like a prepaid cell phone. You've got to use the airtime that you've put on, but it's there. You know, that's what it means. It's not saying that you know, whether you like it or not, you were going to wear a blue shirt today. That's not what it's talking about. You know, it just must be destiny that I'm here today. No, well, the reason I'm here is I came. You have to make the decision. You know, we'll look at it just now, but God's given you the choice between life or death, blessings or curses. Your life is a mess. It's not because God wanted it like that. It's because you allowed it. And He's given you the authority to now step out of that and walk into what God's got for you. Today, English version puts it like this. God has made us what we are, and our union with Christ, and in our union with Christ, He has created us for a life of good deeds, which He has already prepared for us to do. So, you know, the good works or good deeds, many people translate or interpret that as holiness and, you know, like whatever. It's not that. Okay, I believe there's two parts to these good works or good deeds. Firstly, I believe that it does refer to the purposes that God has for our lives. It does refer to the fact that He has a specific course that He wants you to take. But it's actually more than that. Okay, there's something else. Okay, so now if we look at the next verse in Deuteronomy, He said, God says, today I'm giving you a choice of two ways. And I ask heaven and earth to be witnesses of your choice. You can choose life or death. The first choice will bring blessing. The other choice will bring curse. So choose life. Then you and your children will live. Deuteronomy 30:19. That's basically saying, Your choice. God's will doesn't automatically come to pass. He loves you. He wants the best for you, but you've got to cooperate with him. You've got to work with him. Okay, we have the choice. Ephesians 2 verse 10 again, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. It's saying that you're not a self-made man or woman. You are his workmanship. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Okay, so now this word works here in the Greek is ergon. Okay, and I'm going to show you a couple different verses where ergon is used to show you what is intended with this. Okay, so now the first, what we're saying these good works is, firstly, is God's got a purpose and a plan for you. He's got something for you to do, but it's something else as well. What are the good works that we should walk in? Let me show you. Many of us, as I said, think it's holiness or witnessing and stuff like that. And it's not excluding that, but it's not just that. Okay? So the same Greek word is used in John 4:34, where Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, his ergon, his work. This is the same work as in that he's prepared for us good works. So the good works which God prepared for Jesus, it's saying Jesus was saying that he came to finish these works. Okay? And this is referring to the labor which he did, and he obviously finished his work. Amen? That's why I said it's finished. John 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work, the ergon, which thou hast given me to do. So Jesus is saying, I finished the work which I came to do. The work which you've given me, God, I finished it. Okay? The good works which we should walk in, this is what it's talking about. The same, I believe that the good works which we should walk in Ephesians 2 verse 10, is also the good works which Jesus has finished for us. So it's talking about walking in the finished work of Christ. That's the preordained work, part of it, which God ordained for you to walk in. It makes sense, actually. We often make it self-centered about being a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or whatever. It's not that. He wants you to walk in the finished work, the finished ergon of Jesus, which is, he's paid for your healing, so don't try and earn it, just walk in it. He's paid for your salvation, don't try and earn your salvation, just walk in it. Don't try and clean your own conscience, because he's forgiven you, so just receive that, because there's no condemnation in Christ, so just walk in that no condemnation. That's walking in the finished work. Okay? He's preordained for you as it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So as a believer now, we should be unto good works, walking in the finished work of Christ. Not just trying to do something for God, but walking in what he's already blessed us with. And you know what? If you're walking in the finished work of Christ, when you start to get that vocation and you know that you're doing the job which God's called you to do and you are where God's called you to be, you'll enjoy it so much more when you're walking in the finished work of Christ. There's a lot of people who are seeking God, what work should I do? I'm called to be a businessman. I'm called to be a businesswoman. I'm called to be a doctor. And they're just focused on that, and they don't ever enjoy it because they're not walking in the finished work of Christ. When you're primarily called to relationship with God and to walk in the good works which he's preordained for you, which is the work which Jesus finished for you. Okay? Romans 11 verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works, same Greek word, ergon. Otherwise grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. So we're saved by, not by works, but by grace. Okay? And this is showing us that, hey, it's not about you trying to achieve something, it's by grace. But there's still something for you to do. But you're not with healing, you're not trying to earn it. With prosperity, you're not trying to earn it. Hello? Many of us think we have to earn the prosperity. You don't earn the prosperity, you walk in the prosperity. Do you know why your business prospers? Because you're blessed. The blessing attracts financial stuff. The blessing in you produces that wealth. You're not trying to get rich. You're not trying to be wealthy. You've got it inside of you, and whatever you put your hand to shall prosper. We'll talk about that in the series. Okay? So, know, we're not saved by works, and we do not live by works. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You received Him by grace through faith. Now you're walking Him by grace through faith. You don't live out your Christian life. You don't live out prosperity or healing or whatever by earning it or trying to achieve it or working it. You do it by receiving His grace. You know, it's by faith, really. Okay? Many of us look at faith as a work. It's not a work. Faith is looking to the grace of God, what He's freely given us, and then we're just taking hold of what He's freely given us. Faith is just believing. Okay? And that really is the work that God's got for us to do, because you can't accomplish anything for God or anything in your life without faith. So it's a faith journey, really. Jesus said in John 6:29, this is the work, the ergon, of God, that ye believe on Him in whom He has sent. So your work is really just to believe on God. If you want to accomplish whatever God's got for you, you've got to believe on Him. You've got to have faith in Him. You've got to trust in Him. And what it is really is as you look to the grace of God, what He's provided for you, look to the finished work, it's like faith rises up inside of you. You don't have to manufacture it, and you'll start to walk in your purpose. It all comes back down to relationship with God, actually. The more you grow in your relationship with God, your friendship with Jesus, the more it's just going to naturally happen that you start to walk in the purposes and the plans that He has for you. You don't even need to know where you're going, because you're trusting Him with each step. You don't need to know, hey, that your business is going to have, you know, 1,000 chain stores or whatever. You just need to know what's the next step. Might be exciting to know that, but it might be terrifying. You might need to just know the first step. So, you know, the preordained plan that God has for us with these good works is, number one, that in the fruit of the work, that we live in the fruit of the work of that Jesus has accomplished for us. Healing, deliverance, freedom, you know, victory over the devil, victory over over sin, all of that type of stuff, that we're living in health and all of that. But it's also in the good work that He's called us to, which is to believe and then to do the work of the ministry, to fulfill the calling that He's put on your life. Okay, so you've got to discover, what has He called you to? And for all of us, really, you know, He's called each and every single one of us to be part of His master plan to reach the world. That's really it. Whatever you do is part of that. We'll talk about that in detail. But whatever He's called you to do, like whatever, like vocation it is or whatever, it's really just a way for you to express your calling as a believer. Every single one of us has a calling the moment that you're born again. Okay? Let's look at just a few verses there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So who's that talking about? Well, at least it's talking about me. I don't know about you. It's talking about any Christian. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Amen? This whole passage is talking about you if you said amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That means, hey, your new life in Christ is stronger than your old life that was in Adam. Okay, that was just for free. And then it goes on 18. And all these things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So this is saying, hey, you're a new creation in Christ, you're a Christian, and you've got a ministry of reconciliation. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you, every single one of you, you have a ministry, and it's a ministry of reconciliation. You might not have your business card yet, but you've got a ministry, and it's a ministry of reconciliation. Okay? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing, not holding their trespasses or their sins against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So you've got a ministry of reconciliation as a believer, and you've got the word of reconciliation. And then it goes on, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Saying, you're an ambassador of Christ, a representative of Jesus. So, you're a new creation in Christ. We like to take that one and just focus on that. Amen? The rest is a bit scary. You've got a ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. You've got the word of reconciliation, which is in trust. That means you've got a message to... He's not expecting you to manufacture a message. You've got a message which you can share with the world. It's a message of reconciliation. It's the gospel of grace. And then it says that you're an ambassador of Christ. You're representing Him. Now, I don't know about you, but if you look in the papers or online for job opportunities, I don't see anyone asking for an ambassador of Christ. Hello? That's what you're called to. But if you go and search online, you might find something you don't want to be part of. God's called you to be His ambassador, to be His representative, wherever you are, wherever you go. This is one of the biggest things you've got to understand with calling and destiny. You're a Christian, you've got a ministry, and that ministry is to be a representative of Christ. He's given you a message, so you don't have to manufacture something, just take His message and go and tell people His message, not what you think, not your opinion or your good ideas, but His message. You go and share that with other people, whether you work at McDonald's, whether you're a homemaker, a mother at home, or whether you're a big businessman, or whether you're a teacher, whatever you do. Now, God's wired you and gifted you for a specific vocation, a specific job. And we're going to talk about that in the series. I don't know if it's next week, but we'll talk about it. But the point that I want you to see is, whatever that vocation is, let's say He's called you to be a teacher in a school. Your calling as a believer to be an ambassador of Christ takes the form of a school teacher. You know, if a lot of us get hung up on our identity. Our identity is so attached to what we do that if we can't do it, we fall apart. God's called me to be a rugby player. I've had this one. That's why I use it as an example. God's called me to be a rugby player. And this guy I was talking to was so freaked out about going to play at Newlands for the first time. And he said, please pray for me. I'm like, I don't know what to pray for this guy, Lord, but okay. So I put my hand on him. I started praying for him, and I felt God tell him he's not a rugby player. And I was like, okay, so what is he? So I put my hand on him. I said, God wants you to know you're not a rugby player. He just like, his face just... You can imagine, just dropped. And I told him, God says that you're His son who plays rugby. Because what happens if you lose your legs and you can't play rugby? Then is your purpose over? Should you go home? To be with Jesus, that is. No, you've got a work to do. There's something else you can do. You can fulfill your calling whether you're working at McDonald's or whether you're the president of the nation. You know, God has put inside of you things that you know, some of you, if you're going into maybe even the area of science and things like that, you should come up with things that nobody else comes up with, because in every industry, you come up with things that other people haven't come up with. Why? Because you've got the Creator's DNA inside of you. So He wants you to be the best in your field. He wants you to make an impact in your field. But you know what many Christians do? They neglect their calling to be an ambassador of Christ. They neglect the message of reconciliation. They neglect their ministry of reconciliation to be a businessman. I mean, the first time I started getting onto this and thinking there's something wrong with what I know about destiny and calling was when we were doing a meeting up in Johannesburg and someone... came and said hello to us afterwards, and I said, you know, how are you doing or whatever, and they said, you know what, so they left Stellenbosch and they went to work in Joburg, and they were like, I know I'm called to be here. I was like, that's awesome. I know that God's called me to climb the corporate ladder and to be this big-time businesswoman. I was like, something sounds wrong here. Something doesn't sound so good, because now everything in her whole life was revolved around being a businesswoman. And it's like, well, God's going to help me become a businesswoman. God's going to help me to make lots of money. Even if they added on, you know, for the kingdom, I'm going to give to the kingdom, or whatever, that doesn't matter, because God's not interested in about you just making money even for His kingdom. Because you come into contact with people wherever you go every day who need to hear what you know. And you don't have to share it like I would share it. You don't have to share it like any other person would share it. You just share it the way that you share it. Show love, show kindness, Be a good representative. Do what Jesus would do in that situation, because you're his ambassador. An ambassador does what whoever they're representing would do. They don't have their own opinion in ambassador. You know, I've never heard the ambassador of America to South Africa give his opinion on the politics in America. He says what his government says because he represents his government. Any ambassador is like that. You don't have the privilege of sharing your opinion, which is a safe bet for most of us. So you just take the word and you share the word. You just, hey, God loves you. So your destiny is an everyday walk. It's not just a something out there one day that you're going to accomplish. It's in this everyday walk, you need to make decisions, and these decisions are either pulling you away from your destiny or pulling you towards your destiny. Some of you take big decisions or even little decisions very lightly. What should I do in this situation? Oh, I think this is a good idea. I don't feel like doing that. Those little decisions are either pulling you in the right direction or pulling you away from, or pulling you in the wrong direction. Okay? Some of these decisions include, what should I study? Now, let me just say this. If you mess it up in any of these areas, God's like a GPS. Amen? Recalculating. Putting you back on track. So you can't make a big enough mistake that you just blow it and God says, I don't know what to do with you anymore, my friend. You know, like you're on your own now. Fix it. He wants to walk with you so that you're back on track. Amen? He's not going to leave you off just to fend for yourself. He'll help you. Doesn't matter how bad the decision was. Amen? So you got to know that, but you got to include him in decisions like study, employment, where to live, who to marry, how to spend your money. It's wise. You know, you might think, but why do you have to ask him about buying a car? Well, you don't. You can just go for it. But especially if you're buying a second-hand car, amen? God, this car seems amazing. I want it. It's red, ladies. just a joke. So then you want this car and you buy it, sorry. But you buy it, but it's like you don't know what problems you've got with it. And maybe God, you know, takes away peace while you're praying about it and you just don't get it. And then the next day you realize it was just a scam or something. Or you're like, this is my dream house because it's, I wanted to say it's the color, a certain color, but you're like, this is my dream house because it's got big trees outside, or I don't know. But you're like, this is my dream house. And you're like, God, I know God wants me to give me the desires of my heart, so I'm going to take this house. But you don't go like, God, do you want this house for me, or is there another option? You're like, you know, what do you say? When last did you go and check the house foundation? Do you know what's going on in the waterworks there and everything like that? No. God does. So pray about it, and if you don't have peace with it, don't do it. Because he knows that that house is going to fall down, or if there's, you know, problems with the whatever, and you don't. Maybe he knows that, you know, in 2 years' time, they want to just destroy that whole neighborhood and build a shopping center, and you're going to get bullied to sell your house for something less or something. You know what I mean? God knows, you don't. So that's why it's wiser to include him on decisions. For those of you who want to get married. You know, it's kind of like, well, it seems like such a nice lady. And maybe you don't know them so well. You need to ask God. You need to, yes, get a word from the Lord about it, but you need to know their character and see it proven over time so that you know you're making a wise decision. You can't take potential to the bank. How many of you went to the bank manager this week and said, you know what, I'm going to be the next multimillionaire. Can I have an advance? Can you prove it? No. Is he going to give you the money? No. There's potential in this room to change the whole world twice over. We're not reaching our potential. So don't make a decision based on potential with anything. Discovering your destiny isn't just about finding out your destination. It's about walking with the Lord, which is friendship. Step by step. Jeremiah 10:23. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. I know that the way of man is not in himself. You can't look to yourself for your next step. It's not in a man that walks to direct his steps. You're not that bright. You're not that clever just to figure it out yourself. But Lord, you know, I've got these two decisions. This one seems like such a great option. God, you know, let's say it's choosing between two jobs. And God knows that company is going to be a zero. It's going to fall apart in a month. It seems like a good option, but it's not. You're like, but Lord, I'm going to get a bigger paycheck there. I'm going to get more benefits. This is just a small company. And God knows that, hey, this is it. This is where you should be. Can't make a decision based on money. Lord, what are you saying? I want you to direct me. All comes back down to relationship with Him. I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. You know, if you read in the beginning of Corinthians, it speaks about the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. We've got some good wisdom in the world. You can go read a lot of books about the wisdom of man, and it can instruct you and it can help you. It can even help you find your purpose and live out your destiny, all that stuff. But it'll never be what God's got for you. You know, God's ways are completely different to the world's often, and it's far better to do what God's called you to do than to do what the world thinks you should do in a situation. Amen? Father, I want to just thank you that we don't have to do that. Firstly, we're not here by accident. We don't just have to live on this earth aimlessly and with just waiting for heaven for one day or whatever, but we're doing this life with you. We're on mission. We're here for a purpose, and we can accomplish something great, Father. Thank you that you've called each and every single person that's here to be great. There's greatness inside of you. Thank you, Father, that you've called us to be great, and that you're living inside of us, and that because the greater one is inside of us, we can live great lives for you, Father. Thank you that not one person here is an accident. Not one person here is a mistake. Not one person here doesn't have a destiny. You've got a purpose. You've got a calling. You've got a destiny for each one of us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter how we fulfill that in a sense of, you know, what our vocation is or you know, if we're up front or if we're behind the scenes or whatever, but you've called each one of us to a life of significance where we're influencing people and making a difference for you. Pray for each person that as we get into the series over the next couple of weeks, as we dig in through the devotionals which start tomorrow, I thank you, Father, that each one of us is going to have an encounter with you through this where we just have it settled in our hearts forever that this is what you've called us to or that is what you've called us to, and that we would know how to take the next steps in our lives to help reach that destiny, Father, to live in that destiny. Just with your eyes closed, I just feel on my heart that I want to give you an opportunity to respond. You know, I know that for many of you may be making decisions about, you know, God, where should I live? What job should I do? You know, who should I marry? Or, but more so just focused on what course should I take, go on with my life? And if you're making big decisions as to God, what job, what field, what, you know, where, how, all of those kind of things, I just want to invite you to stand and I just want to pray for you. Between you and God, so don't worry about the people around you, just stand. I just feel on my heart straight away that God's just saying, hey, it's not too late for you, and it's not too early. He's not done with you. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter how far along in the game you are, age-wise even. He's got a purpose for you. He's got something for you to do, and he wants to make, you know, just your influence so great, even if it's just on your family, because your family, you know, within your family could be the next Billy Graham. He wants to just work through you in such a powerful way, but you've got to see it. You've got to cooperate with him. And just continue seeking him. Father, I pray for each person that's standing with the big decisions that they're needing to make. maybe over the next couple of days, over the next couple of weeks, but I just thank you, Father, that you've called them, that you know the future filled with hope, the prosperity that you've got for them. They may not know, but you know, Father. You know what vocation they should do, Father, even if they don't know. You know what they should study, even if they don't know. So I thank you, Father, that each person who's standing, as they seek you, they will find you. They will grow in their relationship with you. They will know exactly what you've called them to, and that they will know what the next step is, Father. I just feel God saying, you won't know the next 10 steps. You won't know the whole plan, but you'll know the next step. And so just seek him, and as you've got that next step, be faithful to take that next step. And as you take the next step, you'll know the next step. And as you take that step, you'll know the next step. Don't worry about the whole plan. Just focus on him and focus on now. Live in the now, not in the tomorrow. He's not the God of I will be. He's the God of I am, which is now. And where the enemy has come to distract you through attacks, I just silence the voice of the accuser. I silence the voice of the enemy in your life, and I declare God's favor on your life. I declare his blessing on your life. I declare that you are his child, that you hear his voice, that you have nothing to worry about. In Jesus' name.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.